Okay, so there are two questions I want to address together because I want to just make a point. There's the first question that I have on the list is, what is the gather of Yashiv Labeso, where a person goes, I think the question means to say a person goes in because of rain, and then it stops raining. When would we say you're still parted from Sukkah, even though it stopped, that you don't have to go back? That's one question. And another question was, if part of the reason you're mitztayer is because of your own thickiness, do you have a p'tur? So I just want to begin by saying that when it comes to the p'tur of mitztayer by Sukkah, it has different levels, meaning to say there are certain things that are absolute mitztayer where there's no inyan to try to overcome it and sit in the sukkah, such as rain. Rain, which is ongoing rain. If it's currently raining, and I don't mean just a little drizzle, but a real rain, no question about it, rain that's completely abnormal for a person to sit out there and especially to eat out there. It's getting into his food. It makes his challah soggy. It ruins his food. It's completely unpleasant, especially some of these tough Miami rains where it downpours. So then there is no inyan to stay in the sukkah. There might even be a shaila. Some say a shaila about if you're allowed to stay in the sukkah because maybe you're being nenef somewhat from the parts of the sukkah shalom mitzvah. You're not being mekayim mitzvah and yet getting enough in the sukkah. Maybe it's a shaila of using it not for a mitzvah. But even if we'll leave that out, there's no mitzvah. There's no inyan to stay in the sukkah then. And I guess there could be other examples where the sukkah is completely uninhabitable, where kuliyam lo pligi, this is not a place to stay right now, so there'd be no need to stay inside the sukkah. On the other hand, when it's just a question of tircha, for example, the case where you went in because of the rain, now it's not raining anymore, and it's not, your sukkah, it's not really dripping, it's pretty decent, and there's no question that if you were starting a suda, you would have to go to the sukkah. But you did it. You're not starting. You already started the sukkah, and you had to transfer everything in the house because of the rain. And now it stopped after you settled down. See, that's really the din to answer the first question. Once you've settled inside and to the point where it's mitzvah now to have to pick up again and take everything back out again, in the middle of the sukkah when you already made the transfer once, to have to transfer back a second time is again mitzvah and your putter. And by the same token, yes, it definitely could be that a person's own thickiness, if that's the right word, can say he's mitzvah, something which many people wouldn't have a problem with, but he does. Let's say a certain type of bug infestation. I don't mean severe. Possibly bees, which are disturbing. But many people can live with them, and some people, even if they're not allergic, I don't mean a person that's a sakana, but some people just they have trouble with it, or a level of cold or heat, more no gear for you in Miami, etc. With those the levels where you may have a p'tur. Yeah, if you can't handle the heat and there's no shiloh that you would, if you were, your house was like this, your air conditioning broke and your house was this level, there's no shiloh that you would leave, you'd find somewhere else to go, then you could leave the sukkah. But there's a but we'll get back to. Or let's say it's just a tircha, you don't have a sukkah in your own backyard, and to go to a sukkah you have to go elsewhere, you have to walk to somebody else's sukkah, which is a few blocks away perhaps, and it's a bit of a schlep, and besides a bit of a schlep, it's not your house. So those are pturim, those are also pturim because it's called mitzvah. But those are pturim which are subjective. It's because you have trouble with this particular sukkah, and it's legitimate, but it's not universal. It's not absolute. It's not objective. It's subjective, and especially if just the question of tircha, getting back to the sukkah, like the first case, you have to schlep back in. It's a tircha, but once you've done it, then fine. The sukkah is lechatchila. So you could still be mekayim the mitzvah, and you should make an effort. I think you should make an effort. You may have a p'tur, but don't forget the mitzvah sukkah is only 7/8 days a year. If you live in Chutz Laaretz, it's 8. You live there, it's 7 days a year, and that's it. Then it's a gewaldige mitzvah. You could kind of mitzvah just by being there, besides the eating and the sleeping and the schmoozing and the retar, but just by existing in the sukkah, mekayim mitzvah b'chol rega v'rega. It's a phenomenal treasure. We don't get treasures like that, too often. Once a year, that's it, for 1 week out of the year. So it's really, a person should look at it like an opportunity to be mekayim mitzvah, mekayim the ratzon Hashem, and all the other inyanim, whatever the inyanim are with sukkah, but just pasha that you mekayim the ratzon Hashem, you mekayim mitzvah, and you should try to make that extra effort to be mevater a little bit on your tircha, mevater a little bit on your on your sensitivities that are making the sukkah unappealing to you and or uninhabitable to you, but not, as I said, not objectively. And you should really make an effort to do it. And you know, you look at it that way, like, you know, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. I won't, you know, right now, Shesh Metshuva, so we're thinking of ways, how can we chop mitzvahs? How can we get extra mitzvahs, extra schuyas, extra, you know, extra manifestations of doing the rest on Hashem? So this doesn't come during Aseres Metshuva, but it's coming up in a week. So, and then next Aseres Metshuva, you're going to be looking for more ways. So here's your chance. Here's your chance right after Yom Kippur. I think it should be looked at that way. Okay, but technically speaking, if a person is mitzvah, once you've settled down in the house, or it says if you go out, let's say you were sleeping in the sukkah and it starts raining, and you go inside and you lie back down to sleep, you don't have to go back out to the sukkah already. That's considered too much of a tirchah to schlep in. You've slept in to schlep back out again. So you potter, and you could stay inside. So anytime you've really settled yourself down inside the house, you could, or the other case of mitzvah where, you know, it's you for your needs. This is not Roy Ladira, and you would leave. So that would be a technical p'tor. Okay, this also answers the question about extreme heat. Is extreme heat a p'tor? Yes, that definitely is a p'tor. If it's extreme heat, meaning literally extreme to the point where it's, you know, nobody would say people are, you know, passing out or chlanslan or whatever it is, you can't breathe in your sukkah. So yeah, then it could be get to the point where it's even an objective p'tor. It could be. I spent a couple of sukkahs in Miami, not too many, but two, I think, and I never experienced that, Baruch Hashem. Okay, my son put up air conditioners in the sukkah, but even with them off, I personally never felt that it was at a point where this is objective, where this is like a downpour. It might be a point where, yeah, but people can say, I can't handle this heat, especially if you're not used to it. You might say you just can't handle it, but if it's extreme heat, yes, definitely extreme heat would be a p'tor. In fact, you know, the post can say legabi hilchos Shabbos too, legabi amira la'akum, asking a goy to do a malacha for the Shulchan Aruch says when it's very cold, since hakol chalad eitzel atzina, everybody could get sick because of cold, and therefore you could ask a goy even potentially to do a deraisa, even to light a fire. If it's freezing cold in your house, you can have a goy light a fire to keep you warm so you don't get sick. So poskim say kol shekein, if it's extremely hot, if it's overly hot in the house. So in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, there was nothing they could do about it. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you could ask the guy to turn on the air conditioning because they didn't have air conditioning or they didn't have any other practical aids. But now that we have air conditioning, so many poskim say that yeah, you could ask a guy to turn on the air conditioning if it's extremely hot. I mean, we're not getting, you know, exact gedorim here, but if it's a point where it's overly hot and some people could get sick, especially people that have, you know, their breathing isn't 100% or whatever else, you know, they're affected by the heat. We say that you could ask, they say it's a kol shekein, like one maramakim be the minchas yitzchak, shal shuv is minchas yitzchak on that. I don't remember what simon, but I'm sure you can find it if you want on the nefteach. So legabi sukkah too, it would be a p'tur. Okay. Another important question here, practical question, hopefully won't be no gaya, but practically, how long does a family with kids have to wait on the rainy first night? Okay, excellent question. The answer is not very long, meaning to say, if it looks, especially, let's not talk about Miami for a minute, let's talk about places where usually it doesn't just rain, you know, you don't have a downpour that lasts 5 minutes and then the next 2 hours it's, you know, it's sunny like nothing happened. Apparently, Miami seems to experience that phenomena. We have these phenomenal downpours, you know, very short, and then it gets better. But let's talk first about a place where, if it's raining, it's very likely it's going to rain for a while. So if that's the way it looks, it doesn't look like it's really going to, there's no indication that it's going to let up very soon. You don't really have to wait very long at all, because it's mevatel simchas yontiv and oneg yontiv, especially with kids. It can get pretty difficult. The Mishnah Berurah talks about with guests who are hungry, about not making them wait too long, but it could be your own family members or your own, you know, or your own self, where it's being mevatel simchas yontiv. It's, you know, you have to sit around, and not everybody could just go take a sefer and bury his head in the sefer and say, let me know when it's, you know, nice outside. And it's good if you could do that, it'd be a big milah, but lemaisa, you don't have to wait that long. I mean, there's no exact share I can't give you, but if it does not look like it's gonna let up, you could pretty soon just, you have to go in the sukkah first, though. You have to, the first night, you have to eat in the sukkah, meaning make kiddush in the sukkah, so you make the shechiyanu in the sukkah, and wash, and, you know, make kiddush and wash, and then go in the house, and then you check out the halachas also that if it ends up stopping to rain later, you'd have to go. Then you would have to go back if you haven't gone to sleep yet, and it stopped raining, you would have to go back into the sukkah and wash again, etc., to be mekayim the mitzvah when it's not raining, because as you know, there's a machlokas the first night of mitzvah pata mitzvah chayiv. So you have to eat in the rain, and you might have been chayiv, you might have been yotzei, but on the other hand, you might not have been yotzei. I'm talking about the first night where there's a mitzvah kiyumis, or I should say mitzvah chiyuvis to to eat in the sukkah. You dafka have to eat in the sukkah, not like the other nights where it's only because you're eating. So first night, second night is similar, except the second night you don't have to start in the sukkah, you could start in the house, and then before you bench, even if it's still raining, go out and eat in the sukkah, even in the rain. But but anyway, that would be the answer. You don't have to make people wait a long time. Hakolafia Inyan. If you're by yourself and you have patience and you're not in a rush and you could take out your Gemara and sit and learn and whatever and or do something else constructive, then Adrabah, Tavalecha Bracha if you waited out longer. But if it's causing a bit of Simchas Yantif for other people or for yourself and it's hard, you don't have to wait long. Okay, there's a question. Do you have to inspect a restaurant sukkah or could you rely on a mashkiach? Those are very good questions. Very good question. All the questions, very good questions. So the technical answer is if there's a mashkiach and especially if they tell you that he's a mashkiach over the sukkah too, which he should be, especially if it's under a national type of hechsher, not just a private hechsher. But on the other hand, you really should check, at least check out that the mashkiach gave his okay. But even then, it's not so recommended. Meaning to say, I don't know if you have to check out and go find out, like where they bought their mats, that type of thing, where things that you can't see, but things that you can see. I mean, you shouldn't go in blindly. If you could see that, the tzilsa, that the chamsa meruba mitzilsa, that the schach is simply not thick enough, or you could see that other things that seem to be clear psulim, there's a tree over half the sukkah or something. And, so the mashkiach might not be taking full responsibility, because it's one thing that the piece of meat that goes in your plate, there's nothing you could do about it. You can't check who shechted it and who salted it and who cooked it, without trafing it up. So you're completely in the hands of the mashkiach. So you're relying on him. But the sukkah, things that you could see on your own, he might say, look, open up your eyes and see. The mashkiach might say, there was only so much I could do. They wanted a sukkah. I told them it's not so good or it's not good because of this and this. But they said we're going to do it anyway because there are people that will just eat inside. Whatever they'll say, they don't necessarily look at it. It's like if you have a bracha on a package, a food package, it says this is the bracha. You can't necessarily rely on it as if it came from the mouth of the mashkiach as much, or other things. I mean, there are other side things. So I would definitely recommend that anything that you could check yourself. And if it seems to be a floppy sukkah, there's no walls at all other than floppy canvas, and it doesn't look good. So don't say, well, look, if you want to ask the mashkiach and he says, I hold it's good, and you hold his Yirei Shemayim, you want to lie on him. I'm not saying you can, but don't feel that that's all you need to do. If you're a Yirei Shemayim and you want to make sure you're doing the right thing, you have to go in with your eyes open. You can't just go in with your eyes shut to something like that. Okay, I think there was one more question here. Yeah, about the hurricane watch. Could you take down your sukkah on Erev Sukkahs or during Chol HaMoed? I think the question was, should you take it down? There are different cheshbonos here. If you think that it's a potential mazik, that if there's going to really be a hurricane and your sukkah could fly and cause hezek to somebody else or to somebody else's property, then possibly yes, if it's a real, a real serious, genuine hurricane watch, perhaps you should. Otherwise, I think the question is more, could you? And I would say just, you have to make a big cheshbon here, because if there's no hurricane, if it turns out to be, calm and nice, you really have a chiyuv sukkah, and especially the first night, and there might not even be a tour of mitzvah the first night. So try to make a cheshbon of, that there's someplace else you'll be able to eat, somebody else who has a sukkah that's more sturdy than yours, perhaps, or a sukkah with hurricane shutters, or if there's such a thing, or whatever it may be. So you want to make a cheshbon before you take it down. I mean, if it's Chol HaMoed and you don't really need it anymore, you're going away anyway for the last half of Yontif and whatever it is, or you could make do. And don't forget about Shmini Atzeres, though. You have to eat in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres as well if you're in Chutz La'aretz. But if you keep that all in mind and you have a cheshbon, so you could take it down if you're really concerned about the sukkah getting damaged, even the sukkah itself getting damaged. Otherwise, you know, leave it up. I mean, because you don't want to exclude yourself from the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah. Even if it's a hurricane, it's not going to last. Hopefully, it's not going to last more than, you know, a short time, and you'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah most of the yontif. So try not to take it down unless you think it's really going to get destroyed, perhaps, or worse yet, if it's going to possibly cause hezek to others. I think that covers the list. I do have a couple more minutes if somebody, a few more minutes if there's something else or a care or any of the fellas.
I'll check if there are any questions. Somebody want to ask, add a question?
Or to clarify anything that was said.
My question. In Florida, sometimes if, in regards to sleeping, yeah, you might be sleeping at night when the sun's not out with a fan. Okay, you can maybe make it happen. But during the day when it's really hot, it's one thing to eat, but it's another thing to sleep. There's a certain levels of tsar that are more when you're more sensitive when you're sleeping. So, is there any ramifications? Are you during the day? Can you sleep inside? If you're taking
well. Again, it's relative. You're definitely correct. It's how up that the bar from its star is lower, if that's the right expression, when it comes to sleeping, unless when it comes to rain. You know, if you're eating, you have to be mishara that the food is going to get spoiled. If you're sleeping, you don't have to be mishara that. Once you're sleeping and it starts raining, that's mitzvah, even a little bit of rain is mitzvah. So by heat as well, I'm sure the level is different. I can understand what you're saying, that the person, Pasha, can't fall asleep. He's trying to take a nap and he just can't. It's too hot for him. He can't breathe, or at least he can't. At least he's uncomfortable. So yeah, if he's uncomfortable enough to the point where certainly if he can't sleep, then he's putter. Or if it's just simply to, you know, a point where he would not stay here, he'd be putter. Yeah, the bar is definitely lower. Again, hakol lefi mashehu ish. It depends on the person. Depends on the case. But if it's hot enough and you don't have a properly air conditioned sukkah, it's hot enough. Then yes, you could go inside and take a nap. You don't have to. You know, mitzar yourself. That's exactly what the halacha says.
Okay. We have one more last question.
Okay.
I know a lot of people in Florida, they don't sleep in their sukkahs because they're scared of the burglars and whatnot. Is that an actual heter or is that just whatever?
Well, okay, that it also, it's subjective. We have that here in Chicago as well. There are definitely people that won't sleep in the sukkah because they're afraid of whatever, a burglar, or they're afraid of animals or things like that, and it's not unfounded. I'm not discounting it. I mean, definitely sometimes animals in the backyards here, and I remember one year, Erev Sukkah, literally Erev Sukkah, a guy who drove by in a car, Erev Sukkah, not it wasn't Sukkah, it was Erev Sukkah, and he just took a pot shot with a gun at a yid in town here. He missed him, Baruch Hashem. But so this Arabs, you know, so people, somebody could take that and say, I'm not going anywhere near my sukkah at night. But, you know, it wasn't. It was just a fluke thing. It could happen anywhere. And it wasn't part of any plan or anything. It just this Meshuggah, you know, shattered a Jew. And Baruch Hashem, he missed him. So, again, a person has to be honest with himself. And I know the sukkahs in Florida tend to be more flimsy. I mean, in Chicago, you could. I mean, you can't fortify your sukkah in a way that person couldn't get in if he wanted to do it, but you could, you know, lock up your sukkah, or even just, we have a hook and eye on ours from the inside. You know, it makes it not so easy for somebody just simply to get in, especially when, like, what does he want already? You know, I'm not sleeping there with my wallet, or at least, I don't know if he knows that, but. If it's a real concern, if it's a real danger, Malcolm the Shriya Chazeka, yeah, you'd be putter. But Shriya Chazeka is not such an easy, you know, I don't think, it, I doubt a Shriya Chazeka there. And again, you know, a person should, assuming it's not, I mean, I can't speak for the, you know, for the details there, but I'm assuming it's not Shriya Chazeka, in which case I think a person definitely should make that effort. If the person is a Pachdan Bioser, where he's not going to sleep, he's just going to be up all night, then okay. I will tell you the truth, what I've done the last number of years in Chicago, when I've been in Chicago for sukkahs, I've left the light on in my sukkah all night, because I can sleep with the light on. Some people maybe can't, they'll say that itself is mitzvah, but I leave the light on, I feel more comfortable this way. You know, I don't think animals come as quickly at night, the nocturnal animals are looking for dark, not for light, and stand with the light on, I personally feel more comfortable. Like, you know, in the pitch dark, I also feel a little bit uncomfortable, but that's an answer that I use. I don't know. But also, the last thing, just to end with, it does say, Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. You're doing a mitzvah, you're becoming a mitzvah. If it's shriach hazeka, we don't say that. You know, if it's shriach, meaning if it's common, if it's But if it's not Shia Chazeka, then we say Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yida Davara. So you really try your best to be Mezgaber and do it. And you find that it's rewarding. It's enriching. I mean, I know I wake up after a night sleeping in the sukkah. I feel very good. You know, Baruch Hashem. It's sort of an easy mitzvah. Go to sleep and be Mekayim a mitzvah for X number of hours. So it's something to work on. That's to try to be able to do it. That's what I would say.